one reason, but I've heard that the editorials from all of them, and they put forward very good reasons for not supporting Mr. Pearson.
Mind you, if a newspaper support meant anything, Mr. Bennett would have been thrown out of Victoria long ago, wouldn't he?
Well, I don't know. He certainly had his critics in the newspaper field, and I guess in the radio field, too.
Now, when you talk about the possibility of a conservative majority, at the moment you have, what, 89 seats or
no? 94, 95.
That was a slip. That wasn't deliberate. 95 seats. What about Quebec? Leon Blanchet stepped out. It doesn't look like you're going to have any balance of any sizable conservative holding in Quebec.
Well, I understand that we're likely to gain seats in Quebec, and they're certainly holding as many as we have at the present time. I think we'll gain them.
Sir, what do you dislike most about the Liberal achievements that they claim? They're running huge ads again, that they passed, I think, 27 or 28 major pieces of legislation. Which was the worst piece of legislation that threw up the country, and which was passed and has come?
Well, that would be pretty hard, because there are various ones which weren't very good, and some of the ones they did pass have to be withdrawn two and three times before they got them in a shape to be passed.
Are you in favor of the Canada Pension Plan as it now stands?
I'm in favor of the Canada Pension Plan. I think, I'm sure there'll have to be amendments made to it. This is true with any major legislation of that type.
Are you in favor of the maple leaf? I hate to throw it out, but I must ask you that one.
Well, I think it was a great tragedy to take the Union Jack off the flag. And I think it was a tragedy that this was put through by closure. It was a very odd procedure to thwart the nomination of a new flag by bringing in closure in Parliament.
Do you think a conservative parliament might change the flag if it went back in?
Well, the country was so badly divided during the debate on the flag that I don't think it would be wise to precipitate another debate and cause further division in the country. It's badly enough divided now.
Right, sir. Now, you agree with the NDP, though, don't you, that even with a cost of $600 million a year, the old age pension should be up right away to $100?
Pledge is to increase the old age pension from $75 to $100.
Mind you, it's a good, solid, conservative party leader, kind of expensive piece of welfare statism, isn't it?
No, it isn't. I think that, for example, if premiums being levied under the Canada Pension Plan, I think are higher than they need to be. And some of this increase could be paid for out of those premiums. And the balance, of course, would have to come out of the Consolidated Revenue Fund, but you can't take how many million, over two and a half million people get absolutely no benefit under the Canada Pension Plan, and with the cost of living going up all the time, these senior citizens are caught in a vice, and something has got to be done for them. And I think that our policy is fairly sound in saying that we will raise that pension from $75 to $100.
Sir, if the Conservatives are, on Monday night, Tuesday morning, the largest minority group in the House, would you accept support on a conditional basis from the Socialists?
Well, I'm not in a position to say that, Jack. That would have to be decided by the caucus of the party.
But personally, what do you think? Would it be feasible?
Well, I wouldn't express an opinion on that personally. This is a matter which would have to be decided by the members of the party who are elected next Monday.
Howard Green, running for Vancouver Quadra again, former Minister of External Affairs, former Minister of Public Works, one of the leading spokesmen for the Conservative Party. Enough of my questions. That's City Mike for tonight. Your questions on Talkback to Webster at 5-0495.
Here, Webster with City Mike, Monday through Friday at 6:20 on CKNW, presented by HFC Household.
Do you have a question, Mr. Green?
Yes, Mr. Shepard.
Yes?
4013 West 11.
Yes, Mr. Shepard.
Will you ask Mr. Green if he's having difficulty in living on his $10,000 a year pension, and how he expects the pensioners to get along on $100 a month?
I don't get any $10,000 a year pension.
What is your pension?
I get $3,000 a year after 28 years in the House of Commons.
Yeah, what do you get?
I quite agree that the old age pensioners should have the pension raised from $75 to $100, and we are pledged to bring about that increase.
Well, even that increase wouldn't help them very much according to your pension, would it? Well, Mr. Green says he has a pension of $3,000 after 28 years in the House of Commons. That's what he has, not $10,000.
All right.
Thank you. Name and address, please.
The Referral, 55 East 12.
Your question, please.
I'd like to know Mr. Green's views on the financing of higher education.
I think in Canada today, there's a very great need for more efforts to train our young people and also to retrain older people, because with automation, many Canadians will have to change from job to job, perhaps two or three times in a lifetime. We brought in the provision for paying three-quarters of the cost of technical and vocational training schools. It's under that policy that the Institute of Technology in Burnaby has been built in various vocational schools in other parts of the province. And in my judgment, there will have to be further steps taken to help train people in these schools. In addition, there will have to be extensive measures taken to improve the to make it possible for more of our young people to get to university training.
Mr. Green, are you in favor of the Ministry of Education in the federal government?
For example, we're pledged to increase the per capita grant to universities. That means per capita population of the province, from $2 to $5 per head. We raised the governor's office from $1 to $2. We're also pledged to provide additional funds for establishing schools for training doctors and dentists and nurses. And various steps of this kind is quickly offered. It doesn't have to be a great deal more money spent on university training, because Canada is training a comparatively small number of our young people. That is compared with the United States.
Mr. Farrell asked if you, in addition to, if you were in favor of a Ministry of Education in the federal government, is that right?
What I would like to see is the Ministry of Urban Affairs, which would deal with the various questions having to do with urban problems, such as housing and redevelopment, and transport problems and air pollution, and at the same time have them deal with higher education. I think there's scope there for a new portfolio to deal with these different subjects.
Right, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Name and address, please.
This is Croft, 1836 18th Avenue, Burnaby East.
Yes.
I'd like to know, was Mr. Green Minister of Public Works before he was Minister of External Affairs?
That's right, the Premier.
Yes, and
I was acting Minister of Defense Production for 8 months.
Yes, and even the Liberal Vancouver Sun said that it was the Department of Public Works was run completely honestly for one of the first times while you were Minister of Public Works.
That's correct, ma'am. If Mr. Green is too modest to say so,
that's what I thought. But too modest to say so at any time.
You were getting credit properly, too, for cleaning up the old patronage system which had existed for many years under the Liberal and Kennedy regime.
Yes, and I'll never forget it. And I just hope there's a few other people with memories like that. I'm not in your life, but if I were, I'd be for you.
Thank you very much.
You were going to say something, Seth?
Well, I was going to give some credit to my predecessor, the Honorable Robert Winter, who also was a very good minister of public works.
Hey, hold on, please. Stop back to Hollis Green. That's your 205-0495.
Listen, have I got news for you?
Washington 2150 Charles, Vancouver 6.
Question, sir.
Did you get my communication about the anemic dollar?
Do you have a question for Mr. Hollis Green?
Yes.
Well, ask it, please.
I was wondering if the Conservative government would be willing to do something for the superannuated civil servant.
Yes, we would. If you remember, we raised their pensions while we were in office.
And when was that, sir?
During the period from 57 to 63.
No.
Oh, yes, we did.
Well, I am a retired civil servant. I was retired in 1956, and since then I have received no increase. But I am not speaking for myself personally, because I was not in the civil service much more than 30 years.
Well, that's because Mr. Green said that they did increase the pension between 57 and 63. We must accept that. Now, what's your next point?
But not to those that were retired after 1952.
Well, we certainly commissioned for the great majority of the retired civil servants. As I remember, it was for all of them.
Well, not to those who were retired after 1952.
We pledged to give a further increase to the superannuated federal civil servants.
The men who were retired after 1952.
Mr. Green answered the question twice.
Okay.
That's an English thing.
Hello?
Name and address, please.
W. Black, 159 Grush Walk.
And your question, please.
Green gets into power, and I hope that he'll do something about the wages they're paying in Charlotte Hospital. That liberal government are really paying the poorest wages ever. And for a military hospital, they pay the cheapest in Canada, and I hope when Mr. Green gets in that he'll do something about it.
I hardly agree. I've already had representation from some of the ordinaries at Promising Hospital and passed them on to the Department of Veterans Affairs. And if I'm elected, I intend to see
what I know you do, Mr. Green. We sure appreciate what you've done for us, and we'll sure vote for you.
Thank you. Name and address, please.
I just switched off your program. It's a bore.
Thank you, sir. That's one of our mutual friends. He's neither a Green fan nor a West solicitor. Name and address, please.
Yeah, Ed Carson, 1895 Robson Street.
Yes, sir. Your question to Mr. Green.
Yeah, I was wondering, is it permissible to discuss Mr. Green's competitor in relation to himself, you know, and his right?
Why, did you put a legitimate question to Mr. Green and he'll answer it?
Yes, well, I know darn well that Mr. Green would never have done what the Liberal MP had done formerly, that is, come out from the that flag debate and release the news to the press about the flag. Remember, it's supposed to be hush-hush until it's all agreed on, keeping everything quiet, and he dashed out, got his name in the papers, leaked the news out ahead of time.
I remember that well.
You remember that? Well, how can we ever depend upon a man like that to represent the people whose word was not very good at that time?
Mr. Green's observation. Well, I can only say that action in giving a report to the press about a committee which had not kept reports to the House of Commons is certainly.
I was stupefied, you know.
Wrong, and gave Quad Vancouver Quadra a black eye, which across Canada.
Yeah.
Right. Name and address, please.
Phyllis Neal, 8190, the King George Highway, Surrey.
Your question, please.
My question, Mr. Green, is this. I'm an ex-service, not an ex-serviceman's wife, but a retired serviceman's wife. And this is the big problem that we're facing. At age 50, a man is put out and he has to try and find his way around, try and find a job and put on a work, out on the, to work, so that he has to go to work again, and because the pension certainly isn't big enough, I think Mr. Green knows that, to support a family. And at 50, a man is still too young to go and sit in a rocking chair. Is the conservative government going to, I heard something about this, and I was wondering if the conservative government was going to reemploy these military personnel who have spent their entire life defending their country to get bumped out at age 50, which is ridiculous, because they've got to start a new life at age 50.
Well, our policy is to, as I understand it, to provide a bonus for re-enlistment. Now, on the question of doing something about the pension to the men who have retired from the forces, I'd have to check into that. I really can't make a statement about that tonight. I don't know the facts sufficiently clearly to do that.
Thank you, ma'am. Name and address, please.
Bert Jackson, 2327 Second.
Yes?
Mr. Green. Have the Conservative Party no better leader than Mr. Paperbaker, and if not, why?
Have the Conservative Party any no better leader than Mr. Paperbaker, and if not, why?
Well, we have, I think, a much finer group of men who are in a position to take on the leadership of the party than the Liberals. For example, Premier Robin of Manitoba. And our own Davy Fulton of Kamloops, Premier Sandfield of Nova Scotia, and Premier Robarts of Ontario, and there are also several others. And I would imagine that in the next election, which is about 4 or 5 years from now, both the Liberal and the Conservative Party would be under new leadership. We think that the Liberals at the moment have only got one man in the category of those I've mentioned, and that's Premier Lesage of Quebec.
Okay, sir.
All right.
Thank you. And stop back to Howard Green, and it's 50495.
I see the same Mr. Green that used to have either owned or he managed apartment block on a or apartment house on the corner of 26th.
No, ma'am, it's not the same Mr. Green. Mr. Green is a distinguished lawyer and politician.
No, but this is 35 years ago.
No, I've never owned an apartment house, unfortunately.
26th.
No, ma'am, he's never owned an apartment house.
Oh, well,
thank
then
you. It's nice to get into your private life, but it's not really very relevant to the program. Name and address, please.
Yes, Bill Croft, 2906 East 33rd.
Speak up a little, yes, go ahead.
Yes, am I speaking to Mr. Green?
Yes.
Can you tell me, sir, in recent history, or in history at all in Canada, has there ever been a prime minister elected from the province, British Columbia, or Alberta?
British Columbia's never had a prime minister. Alberta had one, Premier Bennett.
Premier Bennett?
R.B. Bennett.
Oh, yes. Is there any possibility in the immediate future, or in the future, not too distant, that British Columbia will ever have a prime minister?
Well, I wouldn't venture to make a prophecy about that. I would hope so.
And what is the best way for us to get a true representation in Ottawa?
Only one way to get a prime minister. British Columbia, and that's to make the best man who are running for office.
You're not even going to give David Bolton a plug of that, Mr. Green.
Yes, I should have given David a plug. I think he's telling that.
Well, as a matter of fact, I heard some time back, I'm only a recent resident of British Columbia, but I heard, I don't suppose you could really call it inside information, but I did hear a strong rumor to the effect that Davy Fulton would be groomed in the event the Conservatives.
Well, certainly Davy Fulton has the qualifications to make an excellent prime minister's candidate.
And I understand you think he's fully acceptable to Quebec, is he not?
Oh, I would think so, yes. He's prime minister.
Yes, I understand that.
Right, thank you very much.
Right.
Thank you. There's going to be, whatever happens in the future, there's going to be a real dog fight for the leadership of the Conservative Party in an office of this. By dog fight, I mean a political...
Oh, there'll be a competition when the Premier of Frost withdrew from the leadership in Ontario. It was a spirited contest, and the present Premier, John Robarts, won. And the same thing, I would imagine, happened at a federal convention to choose a federal leader.
Name and address, please.
Mrs. Toxton, 4396 Brennan Street.
Yes, your question.
I would like to ask Mr. Green how he and the Conservative government propose to pay all these increased pensions and benefits and increased salaries, etc. Just who is going to provide the money for these benefits?
Well, I explained earlier in this broadcast about the increase in the old age pension from $75 to $100. And mind you, the gross national product of the country will be going up from year to year, which means that there's more money available from year to year. And one way I would hope if we could get some money if we're spending for things of this type would be by having a much more efficient government and administration than we've had in the last 2.5 years.
But of course, in the final analysis, we the taxpayers have got to kick in the money to be able to... Right.
Yes, that's perfectly true.
Yes, this is what I wondered. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Your name and address, please.
Ricky Black, 159 Grouse Walk.
How old are you?
11.
Well, you go ahead anyway. Try your question.
Ask me a question.
Yeah, you have to ask the question of Mr. Green. You're our youngest participant in this program ever.
Go ahead.
Is this how,
Mr. Green?
Yes.
I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Not related to that, by
any
means,
Mr. Green. Name and address, please.
Dick Hemling, 3028 East 5th.
Your question, please.
I was wondering about taxation. I haven't heard anything in so far in the election campaign about the taxation issue. I think this should be a major issue.
All right. Well, that's Mr. Green's views on the Elizabeth tax on lumber and on income tax exemption. Just
for
a start, apart from municipal taxation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that the government made a great mistake in putting 11% sales tax on building materials and on the equipment used in manufacturing. There's never been such a tax before in Canada, and I really don't understand why they put up the tax in this particular place now, because these are the things that are needed to build up the nation. We are pledged to repeal that 11% tax on building materials and also on production machinery.
And about the tax,
Out a new twist.
Don't scream.
The question, sir.